Live from the heart of Lincoln, America,
welcome to Ticket Weeknights
on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
There we go. I hate it because this station makes me copy Dak Prescott on a regular basis. Here we go. And I despise that, but it's a thing. It exists. DP, live on a Sunday. We appreciate you hanging out with us. It's a beautiful Memorial Day Sunday, and I hope that you have plans to do something today that's good for you and somebody else, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Hope you're safe. And the mission is just to get through today doing something good. And whatever you describe good as and however you define it, do that. It'll be a couple of hours of radio. So we're going to do one-on-one here, and then we're going to do the Breeze with Hoster Breezy in the next hour. So we are live, 402-464-5685, if you want to be a part of the conversation. Lots going on this Sunday. But to not bury the lead, I have company in this special edition of one-on-one. Why? Because special has to be identified as such. You see something good, say something good. And this young man is everything good, everything that we say that college athletics is about, everything that we say that student and scholar athletes are about, everything that we say Nebraska athletics is about. When you find those people who meet the standard and become the standard, then you'd have to celebrate. And today is a celebration, a coronation, and kind of a relaunching for the young man that's sitting next to me. His name is Sadio Fenner from Nebraska Track and Field, soon to be Florida State and Go Noles. I have family that's down in Tallahassee. I know what you're walking into. I'm proud of you. We're not sending you away. We're just watching you from afar. Sadio, thank you for stopping in this morning. What's happening, brother?
Oh, nothing much, DP. Thank you for always having me. I mean, I couldn't say it better myself. Today is a great day to do something good for somebody else and for yourself.
It was this thing, a morning walk, and usually that's where clarity kind of lands. And I don't know how people find their clarity every day. Some people do it over a cup of coffee. I remember my grandmother did it with a cup of coffee in the Washington Post.
Okay.
And she would just sit and process. And she would try to, things would kind of organize for her and thought. And then she used to talk about that. There were questions each day that you had a chance to answer. And if you were purposeful in asking those questions, your day kind of became planned. So she would always say, I'm not sure who I'm going to meet today. I'm not sure who I'm going to see. I'm not even sure who I'm going to be. But the questions of the day is, who will love me? Who will I love? What lessons will I learn? And then what will I do with those lessons?
Some deep questions to start the day with.
Well, but I mean, right? But you're right. Yeah. Right, that if you go through and you go, okay, so as a student athlete, as a scholar athlete, you have an existing list every day, right? I mean, there are workouts, there's nutrition, there's recovery, there's academics at a high level. You're not just going through the process.
Right.
Like you are like, wait a minute, I need to nail this. So how do you organize? So for high school student athletes who are trying to figure out what they want to do, for parents of student athletes who, quite frankly, may not have answers on what conversations to have with their young people. How do you line up your day? How do you prioritize? What is the thought process?
You know, I think it depends on what it is that I'm trying to do. But again, like the root of everything is, no matter what I'm doing, making sure that the people that are around me are also good. Because I mean, I feel like it's, you know, like if a room is on fire and all my people are in that room, like it's not going to be taken care of until I can take care of why the room's on fire. Right. Mm-hmm. So I put like the things of the highest importance first. So like which one of these things are going to have the greatest impact on not just like my day necessarily, but like my you know, my outlook on life. So, like, you know, if we're looking at this from like an academic standpoint with where I'm currently at, if it was applying for schools, I want to make sure that those things are taken care of first, because those are what's going to be the biggest thing that's going to change my life in the long term.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean I'm neglecting, you know, my daily tasks, because those still have to get done. But I want to prioritize the big things that are going to take more time, like, and give the time to get done.
That's a perfect thing. Is the focus the big things that need to be done, or the small things that need to be done?
And again, it kind of depends, because I think sometimes, like, it depends on what you think is big. Like, I could say something like, I mean, me stopping in here today, for example, like, this is huge to me. You guys have done so much for me, so I'll happily give an hour to something like this. But, you know, like, you could sit here and be like, oh, I've got all these other things to do. And it's like, well, think about the importance or the impact of that 1 hour or that time you get to spend with someone. Like, I don't think people understand, like, the value of time and what that does to not just, like, the individual. Because, again, I could sit here and worry and stress about all the things that I have going on in my life. But it's, you know, how often do I get to sit here with DP and Harrison and just kind of talk and just hang out and, you know, try to spread positivity? How many times do, you know, you get to do that with your parents, with your friends, in the moments when you're in high school? I mean, for the high school athletes, even for myself, like, you only get so much time to do whatever. So really, you know, invest in that time and make sure that you're making the most of it. And I think that's something we get caught up in with the rat race of life, where it's what's next, what's next, what's next. It's like, hey, we can take some time and put some emphasis into the little things, because those are the things that are ultimately going to bring us happiness, joy, and those types of things, right?
Yep. In your priority, there's the really popular social media question. If I offered you $10 million, but the rule was that you only had 24 hours to live, would you take it?
And see, I think I know this is going, and the answer for me would be no. So it's like, why would you? So you understand that your life is worth more than
time.
Right.
Time is worth more than the thing that you focus on. And I always, and it pops up once a week, just as a reminder that, listen, people matter, time matter, mm-hmm. Love matters, because it's the thing that we pursue in everything else.
Right.
In everything that we do, we're pursuing love. And whatever way you define love.
Right, right.
Right? Whether it's faith, whether it's people around you who care about you and who you get to care about. If it's a thing, a mission, that's love.
Right.
If there are quality people, community, that's love. And we talk about it, that in sports, especially at the highest levels, time is the most valuable thing, because how you spend that time dictates the result more than anything else.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I say this all the time. Like, we're all given the same 24 hours. It's what you choose to do with those 24 hours that separate the great from the legendary, right?
That is so GOAT conversation, right? That is like the best. Like, that, as a coach, that's my favorite thing to say. We created, as a coach, and I have to give credit to the community of coaches that kind of birthed this idea and concept, which was, and I don't know that it's been used at Nebraska. I know that I've given it to some students at Nebraska to help manage time. But what, as a coach, I wanted to remove that 23rd hour of chaos because we didn't plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, Johnny's failing history. Well, he was failing 23 hours ago. How did it become a thing? How do we not know? How did this happen? And so we created a study program that required that every student athlete who played for us tell us in a full form. They had to actually, it was homework.
Okay.
So you made the team. Now you have a homework assignment, because if I say academics is first, I actually have to put it first.
Right.
I actually, as a coach, I have to put it first. So your first deal is to tell me what you do with your 168 hours a week. 24 hours, 7 days a week, 168 hours. And the 4.0 student and the 2.0 student have the same number of hours.
Something's not right.
Right! So then you have to... And the beauty of this thing, Sadio, was that it would allow me to identify Sadio, because Sadio has a plan for his 168.
Mm-hmm.
Then the mission is to get Sadio to Johnny.
how do you lift up others with the people you already have?
Shared IQ, mm-hmm. right? What you know is one level, what Johnny knows, but collectively we can raise both of you because you're going to be satisfied in the fact that what you do is reaching somebody else. And the young person that you're helping elevates. And you can only go as far in the leadership as your lowest standard accepted around you.
Correct. Correct. No, I mean, that's the old saying, is it not? Like, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And, I mean, I love that because as somebody who taught last year, I learned that firsthand. It's, you know, I think in a very beautiful, you know, academia way, I learned that, you know, I learned a lot in my undergrad, but now I have to put it, you know, to use in teaching the undergrads that are now under my, you know, under my care and responsibility. And so now it's how well do I actually know this? I've got to, you know, teach it to somebody else. And now I'm getting better at what I do because now I'm starting to understand the stuff that I don't. I'm learning the stuff that I don't so that I can teach it better to somebody who doesn't know it at all. And now we're both getting better in the long term. But again, like, it takes a different lens to understand that because everybody's always, I know everything. I know this, like, I'm perfect. But it's no, like, we all have room to grow.
Man, this is why a big part of what this station has tried to do and will do going forward is to giving voice to folks who care about the thing that we all care about. You care about people. As much as you waver on how you're going to educate people, you're going to educate people.
Right.
Like, you're going to teach. You're going to mentor. And it's missed sometimes because we think, oh, because of social media, all college student athletes are selfish. They're all about money. They're all about social media content. No. The people that you follow.
Correct. There it is.
The people that you've chosen to follow on social media are all about that. What you're missing are the Sadio Fenners. What you're missing, they're like this, every student athlete that has a show on this station, I would be proud of as my son or daughter.
That means a lot.
Right? Like
that means a lot.
Well, but that, I mean, that, and these, you're the sons and daughters of whatever community you're in.
Right.
Until you become leaders in that community. And what I know to be absolutely true is that if I pour love into Sadio Fenner is going to go and pour love into more people. One, because he knows that love is the thing. Two, he understands that that's why I did it. That's why he's here. That's literally why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
To come here, learn the lessons, learn the landscape, and then make it better because you, from inside, you know what the next Sadio Fenner needs.
Correct. Now, I said this probably at some point this week, but, you know, everybody hears that, you know, the phrase of, you know, let's pay it forward. Like, I'm paving the road. And that's a me statement, right? Like, that's I'm doing something. But I think the way that has to really be said is I'm paving the road further than those who came before me because they paved before me, right? Like, I'm walking something that's already been done, more or less. But then I'm also paving it so that the people that come after me can walk farther than what I did and see farther. We had this conversation with, like, whose shoulders do you stand on? Because there's plenty of giants that we've all stood on. And it's the same deal. Like, I'm not doing this without you. And in 20, 30 years, like, there will be somebody who's not doing this without what you and I have talked about today.
Yeah.
I have no idea how that's going to come around about, but it will, because that's just the funny thing with life. And again, like, somebody's going to listen. I don't have to reach everybody, but one person is going to listen. It's going to have an impact on them. And that's the only thing that I think really matters. Because again, you never know who it's going to impact, and that one person will make all the difference.
Harrison, would you please read the text that's on the text line?
Oh, more than happy to. Shout out to this guy. This guy helped me get the gig that I currently sit in the chair I'm at now.
Right.
This one from Sadio Fenner, we'll know him well. Ethan Petrick. He says, please change his name on the stream to his elite freshman year nickname, Satsuki. Is that how you pronounce it?
No, I mean, shout out to Ethan, because, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't even ever get in, or never have been connected with DP if it hadn't been for him.
Same here.
So that's Ethan, I love you. I hope you're doing well, my man.
You know, he's out doing his thing, man. Ethan is such a unique, wonderful character.
He is.
That I follow and root for him from a distance. But I always whisper to him, you know, just remember where home is. Like, oh, yeah. You know, that don't work. Come on back.
Always got a place here.
Always have a place. Sadio Fenner. joins us here on Ticket Weekends and One-on-One. And this will run several times this week, so this is why I'm tagging it that way. One, because I always know that when I put Sadio on the menu, I know that I'm serving up something good. I know that the folks are going to come and go, you know what? This was an hour worth of radio that was beneficial, and I got something from it. And maybe that they want to share it with somebody to say, hey, listen, in this community of young people and parents who are just, like, all of this is new. All of this
right.
is new. So for the moms and dads who were college students or maybe college student athletes, the game has changed. It's evolved. Technology has changed it. And to have people in the system, in the vacuum now, who can say, hey, mom, dad, there may be a blind spot. That and parents are notorious that they do not, you cannot see your blind, you can't know your blind spot. So for the parents out there who are, again, this is graduation weekend, and they're high schoolers who are going to be sent into the real world. The bulk of the people who are listening, if they're going next level, they're coming to Lincoln. They may be going to University of Nebraska, Lincoln. What do you have for the parents? And we'll get to the students in a second. But what would you like to say to parents? Just as somebody who was a freshman once who said, you know what? Man, it would have been really helpful for my mom and dad to know this is kind of what the priorities were. This is what I was going to go through. This is what I needed to know.
You know, and I've probably done this every time I've come on here. Like, I have to give credit to my mom because my mom really set me up well for what I would experience here in the most roundabout way possible. And it's, you know, there's a saying out there, a wise man once said nothing. And my mom said nothing to me. And I loved that because, you know, my mom when I was in high school was very much so like, I know what's best for you in this moment. So I'm going to tell you what you need to do and you're going to do it. And I did. Not that I really had much choice, right? But I did it. Mm-hmm. And it benefited me. But then when it came time for college, we had a conversation and it was different from any of the conversations I've had with her in the past. It was just a, you know what, Sadio, I love you. You're going to do great. It's going to be hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It's going to be tough, but you're going to get through it. And in my head, you know, I'm thinking, doing what I always do, where it's, well, what's going to be hard? Like, is it the school part of it? It's going to be the living on my own part. Said nothing about what was going to be hard. She was like, you're just going to go. We're going to drop you off. That's going to be it. Looking back on this six years later, like, you know, I graduated 2 weeks ago now, and we had a conversation afterwards, and it was, do you now understand what I meant when I said nothing to you about that? And it was, yes, because I would have never been able to understand where I was at, what was going on, if I had gone in with, you know, assumptions like, oh, I'm going to feel this when I get here. Oh, I'm going to deal with this when I get here. So, like, I'm preparing for it and all that stuff. No, like, I went in with an empty slate because it was, I don't know what I'm going to expect. I'll deal with it when it gets there. And I think that's something where, you know, we talk about having a plan all the time, but there's also that saying of, you know, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face, and then your plan has no value. So without going into the plan, like, I mean, obviously I knew what I was there to do. It's, you're there to do school. You're there to, you know, compete with athletics. But you're also there to care about the people that you're with. And so with all of that, I didn't have those other, you know, things of, oh, I'm going to deal with these kinds of people, or, oh, there's, you know, this type of demographic that's going to be there. I need to be prepared for whenever I do run into that. I didn't have any of that. And that made my experience what it was. And I'm, again, very, very thankful that I didn't have somebody telling me, hey, you're going to deal with this. You're going to deal with that. Like, I think that's what a lot of parents do because it's, I know better. My experience was my experience, and so you're going to have that same experience. No, you know that's not how it's going to work.
Be present.
Present, exactly.
Be present. Like, there's a shirt we used to wear to practice that no matter what I planned and no matter the way, any way a game or a match played out in my head, if I wasn't present, I was going to get beat.
Yep.
I was missing the point and being able to adapt, being able to have a – the plan is really just a GPS and a reminder of what, why you're here. In this case, you're here to learn.
Yep.
So be present, accept everything. And learning sometimes for college students, sometimes learning is the dorm room. Sometimes it's the meal hall. Yep. Sometimes it's the bar that you either walk into or walk past.
No, seriously. I can't say it better myself.
Right? That. Sometimes the classroom is social media.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and this is a conversation I've had with four athletes this week. And I need somebody, sidebar, I need somebody to have a dating class at every university in America. Because stop it.
Stop it. You know, I have to say this. It's twofold. It's, you know, you go to college to learn, right? But you also go to teach. And that's something that, like, I think, so with your bit on, like, having a dating class.
Yeah.
I think that extends far more than just, like, relationships. Because it doesn't matter how you cut it. I could talk about this in the standpoint of, like, a coaching to an athlete perspective, from a mother to son perspective, from a teacher to, like, however you want to cut it. There's plenty of relationships that exist out there. At the end of the day, again, like, you go through college. Even if you don't go through college, you're out there to, you know, start a life, start a career, whatever that may look like. I don't care what job you do. You're going to be working with people in some capacity, mm-hmm. right? And so for having a class on how to have, like, meaningful relationships, and when I mean meaningful, I mean, like, both people are benefiting. You're able to listen, communicate. All this stuff stems from what a good relationship should be.
That talking part's kind of important.
Very, very important. And people don't want to do it. And here's the thing, like, I stand there with you because I get equally frustrated because I'm like, and you know what? It's funny because it all stems back to the same thing. It's all love. It's somebody didn't get loved at some point the right way. And so because of that, it trickles into every other relationship. And then you get all these negative people who start spewing negativity into the world. And it drives me nuts because it really takes away from the beauty of what we could do if we could see past the little stuff like that.
Breaking news. The Huskers in the championship game. Of course, Josh Caron has been on fire. Well, he's still hot because he just tied it at 1-1 with an Oppo Taco. And it's 1-1 in the top and in the bottom of the sixth. So 1-1 for the Big Ten championship. That's kind of where in the top of the seventh inning. So pretty cool stuff. In the author phase of my life, there are questions that kind of line up. And there are a couple of things. That one,
the Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
When speaking to a group of students, I give them this question. Do I have your permission to tell you the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And I give it to them for relationships with their professors, with their parents, with their friends, and with people in their social circle. Do I have your permission to tell you the truth? Because it sets us in order to be able to say, hey, listen, if you're going to date somebody, you might want to ask them, hey, are we telling the truth or are we just going through some stuff?
Right.
To say to coaches, when you come recruit me, hey, can we talk truth here? Because here's what I really need and here's what you're really offering.
Right.
Parents, listen, if you're a parent, and I'm giving this to you right now, I'm just saying, when you send your kid off to school, do I have your permission to tell you the truth and give that to your child? Because the fear that young people have of telling their parent that thing, and it's always the most important thing that they're afraid to tell you.
This is free.
Right?
I don't think this is free.
Tell your parents the truth when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
At our number one, hey, mom, dad, a thing happened, and I want you to know. Look, I may not need for you to fix it. I may not need for you to agree with it, but guess what? You're gonna know the truth. And in hour one, because in hour 23, it's a problem.
Yep.
It's a problem. Miss Davis in there in the 23rd hour texting your dad while he's at work because he'll say yes instead of doing it when it happened. You know, hey, listen, I bought some shoes instead of saving that gas money, and now I'm going to hit you, Dad, while you're working because you'll say yes in the 23rd hour. Listen, young people, it's church on Sunday. DP, Sadio Fenner here on The Ticket. We'll be right back.
Back to The Ticket weeknights on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Live on a Sunday, bottom of the seventh, tied at one, Nebraska and Penn State for the Big Ten Baseball Championship. They're in Omaha. They're still dealing. Huge opportunity for the Huskers. Let me have a moment, too, while I'm thinking about it. My boys won the A-10 baseball championship yesterday. And the beauty of that was the VCU Rams beat Richmond, who was their rival. So imagine that if there was a Big Ten and Creighton and Nebraska were in the same conference, and that Nebraska had to beat Creighton twice to win the Big Ten title in their building.
Oof.
Yeah, I'm feeling some kind of way this morning. Well done, VCU Rams. Shout out to Edwin Thompson from Georgetown Baseball. Quite the run. Got his team to the Big East Championship. Where were you at, Creighton? What's the problem? Y'all got issues?
Catching strays out here.
You got some baseball? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I chose chaos this morning. Look. We got a chip. We got a ring. I'm hoping Nebraska comes up with this one. So there, we're going to have that. You did a thing. Sadio Fenner is with me this morning here on Ticket Weekend. And you did a thing this morning that why we do what we do is to connect. And I try to identify folks who are doing good things on purpose. And it has to be that. Do a good thing on purpose. Like, there are people who back into some courtesies.
Right.
No. Purposeful goodness is the greatest sign of God in my mind. And you did a thing this morning on your own. You texted me, said, hey, you're going to be at the station this morning? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be here. You're like, I'm going to stop by. Please tell the listeners what you did this morning.
I really don't feel like I did all that much, but I just brought in an old jersey because, I mean, I feel like, again, I don't have the opportunity to do what I do without this, and I feel like you guys have become a part of me, and so I've got to give you a small part of myself.
So, for the wall, and there's a wall, almost a wall of fame here, of student-athlete pioneers who accepted doing more than they should or could, because it's a lot of time. Your time is important. And for you to choose the ticket and to be a part of the family and the roster means everything. And it's a huge statement. So I am honored and flattered by you, kind sir, for you taking the time. Because anybody that walks into the ticket from this day forward will see Sadio Fenner's name. And that's a pretty cool thing that you did today. So thank you.
Of course, DP.
Thank you for that. So we were talking about from the parents. Hey, parents, we're giving you some golden nuggets of how to deal with and work with your people, with your young people. Now I want you to talk to the seniors who just graduated, who think they know everything.
Everything. I'm gonna start with this.
Yeah.
You know nothing. I'm about to start a PhD, and guess what? I feel like I know nothing. the more you learn, like, this is again, the parents will probably thank me for saying this, but the more you learn, the more you learn, you know nothing. Like, and that's how you have to approach life, is approach it with an open mind. I had a coach who I'll see in a couple of weeks, so shout out to Coach Ramsey, but the mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. And so if you go in thinking that you know all of the answers, you will close your parachute and you will ultimately hit the ground and have a much harder time getting yourself back up than somebody who opens their mind, listens, and absorbs that information.
You did a thing, and I'm not sure if this is tied to athletics or not. Somebody needs to do like a master's thesis on whether nutrition of the college athlete can be shared with the non-athlete, because it's important for you make good decisions with your nutrition because you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be shared with young people? Because there's a thing, and mom and dad share this with the young people. I'm just going to give it to you. Just going to give it to you. The freshman 15 is real. Mm. It's real business. I'm just saying. And you know why? Because freedom.
Freedom. Yep.
Freedom is a real monster. It's a monster. And guess what? Mom and dad, you're going to have to pay for it. So you might as well set something in play. From a nutrition standpoint, walking into college, what did you learn that you should have known in high school?
I mean, this I feel like is just for everybody. This doesn't have to be for just the kids, but, and again, stop me if you've heard this one before, but health is wealth, is it not?
100%.
And so we know, like, I mean, okay, we talk about this so much for athletes because of what it does for your energy, right? Like, if I walk into a race and I'm not fueled properly, I'm going to be tired, I'm probably going to cramp, I'm going to have something that's going to impact my ability to go out and perform. So if we know that it does that from a physical standpoint, why would we assume that it doesn't do that psychologically as well? I'll tell you what right now, if I'm physically tired, you better believe I'm going to be mentally tired. So if I'm not fueling myself properly to, again, accomplish what I'm supposed to in the classroom, all you can expect is going to be crap. Like, it's that whole crap in, crap out type deal, right? And, you know, I think about this a lot because it was really mind-opening. I mean, one of the classes I took was an obesity and disease class. And, you know, you think, oh, we're just going to talk about how, like, eating a bunch of fat's bad for you and how fat's bad. Like, we know fat's bad. But, you know, I don't spend a ton of my time looking at, like, the older population because, like, my realm of study or my focus of study focuses primarily on athletes, which is going to be somewhere between, like, you know, 15 to 45 years old. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at a study that's doing essentially, like, what somebody in their 80s looks like when they exercised every day or, you know, some version of that versus somebody who's at the same age, more or less the exact same, but didn't do any of that, didn't do any of the nutrition properly. And so their fat content is much higher. And it's like, okay, well, that makes sense, right? They didn't exercise any of that. Mm-hmm. But now I'm going to take that a step further. And what does that mean? Well, we're looking at, you know, the composition of what their fat has. And we know that an excess of fat usually leads to an excess of things that, one, like, exacerbate your inflammatory response. It increases, what essentially that means is that, like, your pain is going to be feel more. And mm-hmm. so you think about, oh, well, I'm going to sit here and fat shame people because they don't want to get out and exercise because they say that it's hard. And it's like, no, it actually is hard for them because it hurts much more than what it would be for somebody who exercises. And so there's a lot of things, like, where if we don't take care of this stuff now when we're young, because, again, this stems to a whole bunch of different things. It's habits. It's, you know, do you have the discipline to eat right, fuel properly, and all that stuff? Because, yes, we could sit here and look at it in the small term. Yeah, it'll help me with my competition. It'll help me with, like, making sure that I'm not tired when I go to class. I'll perform better because, like, psychologically my cognitive function is higher when I'm, you know, properly fueled. But let's look 80 years down the line. If I don't take care of this stuff now and start doing these things now when I'm young and developing these good habits, when I get to be even 45, I'm going to have to deal with things like, you know, COPD or high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, like, all of these different things are going to onset because I'm not taking care of the stuff now.
It's in this thing that we say to people that resources, mm-hmm. access, and simple decisions. And the thing about most college students is money. Money drives choices.
Correct.
And access drives choices. So I try to say to parents, listen, set aside a separate budget just for healthy food. Look, some of it will end up at the local tavern. Them's the rules that look, well, make them. But hopefully you give the opportunity and the reason. Because I was a poor kid. I was a poor kid. And my family didn't have money. And I remember, like, I was a baseball player. So I got training room. That was steak, potatoes. Like, that was food.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the time when my schedule was different. Baseball player. Two study halls a day, two practices or workout a day. Look, food wasn't necessarily a thing when you were doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
We had so little money, and again, this is generations ago, so sit around, you know, Uncle DP as he tells you what the value of $20 was back in 1980. But real talk, I got one money order every 2 weeks from my mom for $20. And on that day, when that money order landed at my dorm, I was the king. Look, there will be Cheetos and Doritos for all my men. Come, peasants, come. We will have grilled cheese sandwiches until we fall asleep. But those are the things that happen.
Yeah.
And it requires somebody to say, you know what? Probably not.
Well, you know, and I'll even counter what you just said, because I think this is also a pretty common misconception. And it took a registered dietitian to come in and like tell me this in the class for me to be like, oh my God, no, she's right. Because when this happens, this is what actually ends up happening. So let's say you give DP and his band of merry men $20.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To go spend on whatever. Mm-hmm. So DP now has access to all of the foods that he wants, and they are in his house. He can eat them whenever he wants. Great. Does DP eat those foods every single day? The answer to that's going to be no, because when there isn't somebody telling you, hey, you can't eat that, okay, well, now I'm going to want to eat it because you're telling me not to. That's what happened. So
I'm grown. It's the first time my mom and dad ain't here to tell me what to eat, when to eat it.
Exactly.
I'm grown.
So if I say, hey, DP, I'd like you to make informed choices about what you eat, but I'm not going to tell you necessarily, like, you can only spend this money on this. Spend it on this, but again, I'd like you to make informed decisions. Like, you can buy chips, you can buy whatever else, but maybe we also buy some of this stuff as well. And what ends up happening? You're going to have a more balanced diet than what you would have if I said, DP, you're not allowed to eat any of these quote-unquote bad foods. I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions there is that's out there, is that food is inherently bad for you. There's certain types of quote-unquote bad food. I mean, I could sit here and tell you as an athlete, donuts are one of the greatest things for me as a runner. Why? It's carbs and it's sugar.
100%.
It's great for me.
100%. Listen, it was the greatest day of my college career. Two things happened on this day. One, this is beautiful. Listen, man. The first day that the baseball team had fans, and the fans sometimes were students, and they were female students, and they were like, listen, you know that I can go and get your meal, and if you can't get it, I will get it and put it in your refrigerator for you. Game changed.
He said, playing the game.
Game changed. Because if you're on the road for 7 days and you come back and there's steak and potatoes in your refrigerator instead of nachos and Spam, we are going to do work.
Yeah.
Like, it is. So my body type changed immediately, mm-hmm. and I went, why didn't they tell me?
Right.
This is like a thing. But that's the veteran on the staff. Yep. Hey, that's the senior. Let's tell you. Hey, man, I'm going to send you somebody.
Yeah.
Take care. The other thing was this. First time I hit a home run in college, and a guy comes to me, and he hands me an envelope. Like, I leave the stadium, he just hands me an envelope. And I look at the envelope, and it's bills.
Mm-hmm.
It's green, and it's thick. And I'm, hey, man. So I go to my captain. Bro, what do I do? Like, what do I do? And these are the conversations that parents need to have, because these people approach students. So I called my mother, and I'm like, Mom, you ain't going to believe it. I hit my first home run today, and I got $500. And my mother said a thing that resonates with me to this day. She goes, we are getting in the car to come pick up that money.
Yep. I feel like that has to be like that. Every person needs to experience that at least one time, because I did the exact same thing. I got a little bit of money and I said, hey, Mom, I got this money. She said, no, you didn't. That's going somewhere you're not touching.
That's our money. And the beauty of it was, and this was the lesson, that she told my grandmother. And what I didn't know was that my grandmother was putting in half of the money of the $20 that I was getting. And so when I did this thing, my grandmother said, okay, the fact that you made a really good decision with your money tells me I can trust you with money. So the 20 every 2 weeks became 40.
Mm-hmm.
Because grandma was like, no, you're going to do good things with it. 2 weeks later, I hit my college second home run. And this time I get twice the money I got before. And I'm like, wait, Mom don't know that I got twice the money.
Mm.
And I'm like, what do I do? Like, dude, Like, I give her 500. She happy. Like, we win. Everybody happy. I called my mom and said, come get money. I gave the 1,000. My grandmother called me that Sunday morning. This was on Saturday. She called me Sunday morning. And she said, son, I love you. I'm more proud of you and the decision you made than the accomplishments on the baseball field. Which there is no amount of money worth that. There just isn't. So, we'll throw it to break one final time. There's a question that was asked of Sadio. I will give him that question, but the young man has some steps forward. We will talk about those steps forward, his future, and what we can expect from Sadio Fenner. We'll find that out when we come back to The Ticket.
Back to The Ticket weeknights on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Final segment with Sadio Fenner, at least in this form, because there's lots going on that we will cover here in the next 6 minutes. Sadio Fenner, we have a text that asks the question, why are you going to Florida State?
You know, I couldn't tell you why I ended up in Florida State, other than the fact that God works in mysterious ways. And in a very roundabout way, I could not have planned this out any better, but I don't think I can ask for any more. Primarily, it started with med school, and I had something fall through with that because during the COVID transition, there was a change to my degree, and with that, I lost two classes. Those two classes prevented me from being admitted into med school, part because it was like there are prerequisites that have to be met, and regardless of whether or not I took those classes, they still have to be taken if I want to be admitted. And so I found myself panicking for about a month where I was like, okay, I'm not taking a gap year because the second that I do that, I'm going to lose all motivation to continue to do school. So let's try to find something else. And in that panic, I leaned on, you know, some of those giants and I said, what do I do? I'm at a loss. Every person that I've talked to has said, we don't know, you'll figure it out. And I'm like, that's great, but I don't know how to figure it out. So I talked with my team's registered dietitian, Jake Blattner. So huge shout out to him. And he was like, dude, you have all the connections in the world. You know, I went to Florida State and look at where I'm at now. And I'm like, yeah, you've done a lot. How hard is it to get in there? And he goes, it's pretty hard, but you know, you've done a lot. And I think that, you know, we can leverage what you've done to get in there. And going back through it, I'm looking at who my team's, not even just my team, it was the entirety of the athletic department who was running the athletics performance lab. Chris Bach, who, again, like I said, had a huge hand in, you know, kind of directing me to where I would go academically. And I'm looking through his LinkedIn profile and I'm like, wait a minute, you also went to Florida State. And then I go ask Jake about that and he goes, oh, yeah, yeah, he was in my cohort. And I'm like, okay, what the heck? Like, that's a really, you know, weird coincidence. But in doing so, I start talking with Jake and he's like, you know, I'll put you in contact with people. I want you to reach out. Just let them know kind of what it is that you're trying to do. And I start having those conversations and I don't think it was a coincidence that it was almost like a perfect fit. And everything that we were talking about, it was, you know, we want somebody who has an endurance athletics background. We want somebody who, you know, hopefully has a background in track and field. We want somebody who wants to continue to help us push this field forward. And I said, that sounds exactly what I want to do. And so I applied, and this is the only place that I applied to afterwards. I kind of put all my eggs in one basket and I said, you know what, I'm going to trust and faith and hopefully it all worked out. And a month and a half goes by of me like waiting for something. And I'm like, okay, this is not looking good. I'm kind of panicked here. And I want to say it was like May 3rd. I'm sitting in my bed and I roll over expecting to see an email like I always do, where I'm like, I'm going to see an email from a student, something, something. See one from Florida State's graduate admissions program. I'm like, okay, this day's either going to go really well or I'm going to be really, really upset. And I wake up and it's congratulations, you're going to Florida State. And I said, cool, here we are. So...
Young sir, listen, I made a promise. I think we've talked about, no matter where you are, you have a home here. And I still want your voice in this space. So even if it's from remote, from Tallahassee, Florida, Sadio Fenner needs to be on the ticket.
And I already told you, DP, like I said, this place has done wonders for me. I'm not elevated to the platform that I'm currently standing on right now without the guidance, the support, and the love that you, Harrison, and everybody else from the support staff has given me. So, like I said, I will happily be here for this program, however I can be.
Go be great. Don't miss us. If you're looking, look forward and up, because that's where
you already know it.
Yes, sir. Stay tuned. The Breeze coming up next here on The Ticket.